Hi, welcome to Redeem the Commute. I'm Ryan, your host for the Daily Challenges, and today's Tuesday, so it's the day we explore this week's topic in the Bible. This week we've been talking about how as we try to come together as a Christian community, even while we go about our scattered lifestyles, that one of the things that's going to bring us together is going to be a common lifestyle based on grace. Now I asked you yesterday to consider what the word grace means, because it can have a lot of different meanings, from something people say before eating to a nice name for an old lady. Whatever your experience with that word, we want to look and try to understand how the Bible speaks about grace. Here's something from the book of Ephesians that Paul, one of the first church leaders, wrote to the church in the town of Ephesus. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God. Not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. Well, the Bible's own words just introduced us to the concept of grace. There were a few key words in that passage. The number one being a free gift of God. That grace is something that God gives to us, not something we earn on our own. And this is really, really important to remember. And so if you're trying to remember what the word grace means, just remember G-R-A-C-E, God's riches at Christ's expense. God has given us an amazing gift, not through our own work, but through the work of Jesus Christ. So that's grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. Now, I have a friend whose wife was pregnant with another baby, and they already had a young son at home. And so life was challenging, and they were having some trouble getting everything done around the house, and my friend invited his mother to come and stay with them and help clean the house up. And that was going to be a good thing, but then the night before his mother was due to arrive, my friend got home and found his wife madly cleaning the house. And he said, "What are you doing? You're supposed to be resting." And his wife said, "No, I don't want your mom to see it like this. But she's coming to clean." It's a ridiculous story, right? We know she shouldn't be cleaning because the mother-in-law is coming to clean. And yet this is so often what we do in our lives. We think what we need to do is clean up our act. There are certain rules we need to follow, things we need to do or not do in order to prepare ourselves for a relationship with God. When in fact, it's quite the opposite. God wants to clean us up. God is coming to clean up our lives when we couldn't. Now, what my friend's story reveals is a belief about faith, Christian faith in particular, that many, many people hold, but that's actually not true. A lot of people will tell me things like, "You know what, I don't think I need to explore what it means to follow Jesus. I don't need to read the Bible. I don't need to be part of a church community because I'm a good person. And I'm pretty sure that if someday I die and I find myself at heaven's gates, of course God would let me in." And when I hear things like that, I know people are thinking about Christian faith in a particular way. One that says, number one, obey God's rules. The number one thing is to obey, is what these people are thinking Christian faith is all about. And they figure, if you manage to obey all of God's rules, all of God's laws, then, number two, then God has to love you. You've earned God's love. You've done what you were told to do. And so God loves you and owes you something. And so number three, good things are coming to you. God has to give you good things because he loves you, because you've earned it. And then number four, people think they're owed a new status. That I've served God well, and so he, like that person said, he has to let me in. How could he refuse me? I've done everything I thought I was supposed to do, and so he has to love me, he has to give me good things, he has to give me a new status. The problem is, no human being has ever been able to make it from number one to number two. Well, except one guy, Jesus. None of us have ever been able to follow all of God's laws, all of God's rules, exactly perfectly. Ever since we fell from grace, ever since the first human beings rebelled against God and introduced sin into the world, we humans haven't been able to follow God's laws perfectly, to make ourselves completely acceptable to Him. It's just not possible. And so if this is what Christian faith is all about, then there's no hope to be found here. This is really discouraging, and you may as well give up. But thankfully, what this was not Christianity. This was a law religion. A religion of law that started with, number one, law. Well, I have good news for you. This is not what Jesus came to teach. This is actually what Jesus came to speak against. You'll see in the Bible, Jesus constantly rubbing up against the Pharisees and upsetting them. And one of the reasons they're getting so upset is because he keeps speaking out against a religion of law. And Pharisees were essentially religious lawyers. They were experts in interpreting and applying the laws to people's lives. Well, now I want to tell you what Jesus actually came to teach and introduce into the world. And actually has the same points, but in a very different order that actually makes all the difference. What Jesus came to teach was that, number one, God loves and accepts us unconditionally. Unconditionally, that's number one. There's nothing you can do to earn God's love, and there's nothing you can do to stop God from loving you. It's just number one. Number two, Jesus came to teach, God wants to be part of your life, not just in the future when you arrive at some pearly gates somewhere, but no, now God wants to be part of your life. He wants to be part of your life in a really good and positive way. He wants to give you good things. Now, that doesn't mean God wants to give you all the riches of the world and everybody deserves a Cadillac if they know Him and all these things. God wants to be part of your life. He wants to work in you through His Holy Spirit, through His community, the church. God wants to be an active part of your decision-making every day of your life. Now, there is a decision point here. We are all loved unconditionally, but not everybody chooses to have God as an active part of their life. Many of us push God out of our lives. Sometimes I use the illustration of a wheel. God is meant to be the hub at the center of the wheel, but if we pop Him out and we try to put something else in there, life doesn't work so well. But we do that. We do it so often. We take God out of our lives, out of the center of our lives where He's meant to be. So, there is a decision here where somebody can choose, yes, I want to follow Jesus and have God at the center of my life, or not. When we do have God as an active daily presence in our lives, then number three, He does give us a new status. But that status isn't that we're a servant of God who's earned something. Rather, it's a child of God. It's like we've been adopted into God's family. Servants, of course, work for their place in a family, but children are there by right. Even adopted children are simply there not because they've earned something or proven themselves, but because they are loved and because they're part of the family. Well, and that leads us to number four, which is to obey God's laws. Being part of God's household, being adopted into God's family, means there are some house rules to follow. But the placement at number four is really, really important. Because in this system, law doesn't come first. Law comes, following God's laws, living in God's way, living a certain lifestyle, comes as the outcome of a relationship with God, knowing that we are loved unconditionally. With God as part of our lives, with His Holy Spirit actively transforming us, helping us to live in a new way, and with the assurance that we have been adopted into God's family. These are all the things that equip and prepare us to actually follow God's laws, to actually live by God's rules. But if we try to start there, that's when we get into trouble, because then it just becomes a religion of law. But this is not a religion of law, what Jesus came to teach. Rather, it is one of grace. What Jesus came to teach was a religion of grace, one that starts with God's love and the free offer of God's presence in our lives, freely given to us. All we need to do is accept it. So as we talk later this week about the role of God's laws, God's rules, God's way of life, we're going to keep coming back to this diagram and remembering the place of them in a Christian's life. This is not the way to buy your ticket to heaven. This is not what we need to beat people over the head with who don't know about God's love and grace yet. But rather, this is for those who have decided they want to follow Jesus, they want to have him as part of their life because they know they're loved. They have the assurance that they've been adopted into God's family. And finally, they want to thank God by living in his way, by living with grace. Well, I've got a question for you to consider and discuss with your discussion group. Where have you typically seen laws and rules in your idea of Christian faith? Have you seen them as a way to earn God's love or to respond to it? And why have you thought that way? What experiences have informed you? Well, have a great discussion with whoever you're working with, and I have two reminders. First of all, remember to complete our worship survey that I asked you to do last Thursday. We've got a survey as we become a community that gathers regularly to worship God. We want to know what would help you worship God. And remember, from the week before, we've introduced daily Bible readings into our community. And so make sure you are visiting our mobile app or website to find today's reading and every day. Happy reading and happy discussing. See you tomorrow.